This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I'm not saying the military is in love with me. The soldiers are. The top people in the Pentagon probably aren't, because they want to do nothing but fight wars so that all of those wonderful companies that make the bombs and make the planes and make everything else stay happy.
He's willing to condemn his generals and admirals as killers of kids for war profits.
This is not something that has ever entered the consciousness of most people who run for elected office.
Hello again, Peabody here. Get into the Wayback Machine.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If you watch the ads, I'm sure you've seen them. They would say that you want to defund the police.
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you set the record straight on that?
I not only don't want to defund the police, I'm the one calling for $300 million more for local police. The only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump.
Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Awesome. It certainly is.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Proud and lucky to have Senator and soon to be Vice President Harris with us today. And I will pass it back over to you, because I know you want to take some questions before you get out of here.
Well, we're all set. Thank you.
Senator, why did you have to come
here
for your first date?
We're going to head out the same way we came.
It was my understanding that there would be no questions asked.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York. Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Have they at long last no sense of shame? Messrs. Cuomo. And how about Kamala Harris in Wisconsin at the roundtable discussion? She talked. They listened. She finished up. They said, can we ask some questions? No, you can't ask any questions. But you understand why they don't want to ask anybody questions. They're very confused. The ticket is very confused. Take, for instance, the vaccine for COVID. Now, first we have Kamala Harris. This is what she says about getting the vaccine.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us. I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump, and it would have to be a credible source of information that talks about the efficacy and the reliability of whatever he's talking about. I will not take his word for it.
She's not very bright, is she? Becomes clearer and clearer. She can't even stay on the same script as her running mate, her putative boss. Cut three.
I want to see what the scientists said.
Would you trust Fauci and the FDA, sir?
I want full transparency on the vaccine. One of the problems is the way he's playing with politics. Is he said so many things that aren't true. I'm worried if we do have a really good vaccine, people are going to be reluctant to take it. And so he's undermining public confidence. But pray God we have it. If I could get a vaccine tomorrow, I'd do it. If it cost me the election, I'd do it. We need a vaccine. We need it now.
Why the hell would it cost him the election? I'm not an expert on the polio vaccine, but I'm pretty sure there was not a controversy when it was developed. And incidentally, that guy in the intro talking about the military-industrial complex, I believe he was the president when the polio vaccine came around, or maybe it was Harry Truman at the very end, but that was David Dwight Eisenhower and the president of the United States. And he was the first guy who talked about the military industrial complex, and they're all getting the vapors yesterday. Like nobody had ever talked about it. They're not that young. Morning Joe and his girlfriend, his wife, they're not that old or young that they don't remember the military-industrial complex. That was what they always talked about during Vietnam. They said the military-industrial complex has got us into Vietnam. It's just another version of the Halliburton hurricane machine, you know? And nobody ever said that before. Oh, I'm going to faint. God, it's crazy.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
You know what? If it had said, you know, as President Eisenhower once said, beware the military-industrial complex, they would have said, he made up a president. We never heard of that president of the United States. Who is this Eisenhower person? It's just, oh, it is so bad. And we're going to talk to Chris Bedford again from The Federalist about this this fake Atlantic story. I can't believe it. I'm driving around the Cape yesterday. And by the way, I had a great weekend. We saw all of our friends and our clients down there, the Wakasset Resort and Golf Club, I should say, put us up. And in Harwich, they were great. We had great food there. We went to Moby Dick's in Wellfleet. Saw Don Berrick. He runs the Lobster Claw. You know, he used to send up stuff to me when I was at the doing book signings. He's only going to be there for 5 more days. He's selling out, retiring at age 81. Nothing to do with COVID. Just tired and wants to move on. We saw him. We saw the guys from the Woodshed, the bar that got shut down. It's even worse than I thought. I got some stuff. I'm going to read it to you during the 6 o'clock hour. You know what the health inspector's name was who shut him down? Spanky. Spanky sends him a report saying that he's violating the health orders. And it's a former fire chief in Bourne.
Alfalfa couldn't be bothered to do it?
Alfalfa may be his assistant. But I've got the documents. I said, can you send me the documents? He sent them to me this morning, Bob Ford. Spanky was sitting in his truck in the parking lot watching the young waitresses in their early 20s get dressed. It's all in the report. Oh, man, this thing is so out of control. Just ask Marty Walsh. See, he got busted. He got busted for not wearing a mask. That's the thing. I went all over the Cape. I tweeted out, you know, all these pictures of myself not wearing a mask. A couple people made jokes about it, but it was jokes because I never said I wanted people to wear masks. Marty is on the record every couple days. You've got to wear the mask. Don't lose your vigilance. Compliance is der order of the day. Not jawohl? And then...
Your papers, please.
And then he goes to a wedding, and he's wearing this goofy damn green tie at the wedding. And he comes out into the lobby of the restaurant, not wearing a mask. And these two women say...
Please tell me they were wearing face coverings.
They weren't wearing face coverings. Your buddy Maddie was not wearing a face covering, and he got busted. Okay? He got busted. And he said, I always wear a mask. Well, that's not what the picture says.
Did this just happen?
That's not what the picture says. And then today it gets even better because he gets busted for. Let me read this. A New Hampshire contracting company will pay a $75,000 fine to Massachusetts after the State Office of Campaign and Political Finance determined it illegally paid employees for donations made to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. You think this was a one-off from Select Demo? I've always wondered. I look through his financial reports and he gets all these contributions. I know the owners of bars until 6 months ago were pretty well heeled in Boston. It was a good business. But not only the owners of the bars, but the managers of the bars, the assistant managers, the bartenders, the waiters, the waitresses, they're all giving him a grand. I always wondered about that. I wonder if the Office of Campaign and Political Finance is worrying about it. And of course, Michelle Wu announced that she is going to run against him. after all. The city councilor, not a big secret or anything like that, but it's official now that she's going to run. She has all the qualifications to get the Globe endorsement. She was born in Chicago. That's all they need to know, right? It's like Catherine Clark, born in Colorado. Elizabeth Warren, born in Oklahoma. You know, the further away you are, the more qualified you are to be an elected official in Massachusetts. Just ask State Senator Jason Lewis, born in South Africa. I could go on.
So did we get Marty's t-shirt size so we can send him a no mask, no problem shirt?
Yes, we do have a t-shirt. I'm going to send an XL. I'm going to send him an XL. Here it is. You can buy that. This is the t-shirt we're sending Marty. We've had it on. So we just got them delivered. No mask, no problem. And we have, and you can order this yourself, and you can also get with it at HowieCarshow.com. Click on store, and you can also get with it this free autographed copy of what really happened. But we're sending him an XL. Send it right to City Hall. No mask, no problem for Marty. And again, Marty, nobody cares that you weren't wearing the mask. It's that you just keep lecturing us that we have to wear the mask. And 603, he picked up on this like I did. Marty says he keeps a mask in every pocket. How many people keep, that would have been a good poll question, Taylor. How many do you keep a mask in every pocket? What if you're wearing a sport coat? Let's see, that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 pockets of a sport coat.
We've come a long way from a chicken in every pot.
4 masks in your pants, so that's 9. So if you're wearing a regular shirt, that's the 10th. That's the 10th pocket right there. Man, 10 masks if you just go, you know, in normal business attire. All right, 844-500-4242. 207 says, can you make up a T-shirt for the 200th anniversary of Maine leaving Massachusetts? What do you mean? I mean, people keep telling me they didn't, at least Cumberland and York counties where I'm from, never left. They say I was born in Northern Massachusetts. All right. Anyway, many are feeling nervous about the stock market as the election draws closer. It's important now more than ever to look at where your money is and not put your head in the sand. Bill O'Reilly is here to help. He's hosting the Great American Wealth Project alongside best-selling financial author Alexander Green. Their goal, to show Americans what it takes to create a dream retirement. Go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. You should feel secure about your portfolio, about your future. Watch Bill O'Reilly and Alexander Green as they discuss how you can achieve the American dream starting today. Just go to the HowieCarshow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. Start feeling secure about your life savings and investments today by watching O'Reilly's Great American Wealth Project. You don't want to have to concern yourself with the market going up and down every day. Today it was way down, then it was coming back. Who needs that? HowieCarshow.com, that's where you go. HowieCarshow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Raycon's newest wireless earbuds, the Everyday E25s, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, and a noise-isolating fit that really allows you to focus on what you're listening to. It's great. I have them, and Grace and all of her family has them. Get 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will there be a COVID-19 vaccine before the election?
I'm going to say no.
59% say no.
Yeah. It's just too quick. I mean, again, though, is it really that important? I heard a... You want me to tell you a joke about COVID? You won't get it.
Ha, 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 ha.
Did you hear about the new cure for COVID? It's a riot.
Ha, 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 ha.
I think that joke's been around for a while, but I just heard it this weekend. Todd down at Moby Dick's gave it to me, and I put it in my column for tomorrow in the Herald too. It's for Marty. I'm trying to cheer Marty up after this run of bad news he's had. Do you think Marty was set up? That could have been our poll question, Taylor. Was Marty set up by those two women at the bar? Okay, what is the poll question?
We already did it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got so into my jokes. I'm getting lost. I feel like Joe Biden.
Real comedian's comedian you are.
I am. So here's Joe Biden yesterday. He's come unstuck in time yet again. Oh, the cut from about the Senate. Retaining the Senate.
To do more than just be Trump. We have to keep the House of Representatives and the United States Senate.
That's right. We have to keep the U.S. Senate. Got to keep Mitch McConnell in there for sure. 844-500-4242. I guess Taylor and Grace played this yesterday. They did a great job, by the way, filling in for me. But this was Biden with the teleprompter. And it increasingly appears that he is reading answers off the teleprompter, even when there's an ad lib. Somebody's got to be pretty fast on the teleprompter there to be giving him the answers. And what I'm wondering is, what's going to happen in the debate? Is he going to have a teleprompter in front of him? And if he does, you know what's going to happen. When he gets asked the question, Trump is going to come over behind him and read the answer before Joe Biden can read the answer. And I don't know how else he's going to get through the debate. He can't even read properly off the teleprompter. Here, let's play the cut again. Cut two.
What will your administration do to help them give them that chance? Thank you.
Move it up here. You know, there used to be a basic bargain in this country.
Move it up here? What he means is, you know, move the scroll the copy on the teleprompter up.
Move it up here. Top line messages, end of quote.
Move it on up here to the east side. We're going to finally get everybody a piece of the pie when I'm in the White House again.
You better watch yourself, Howie. This is not at all what you think it is. Not at all.
I know. The other thing is, and this is pure conspiracy theory, and I don't know about this, but some people are saying that he's wearing the mask now when he answers questions on these videotaped things that they post on YouTube. It's things that aren't live, so that they can have him read the responses and he doesn't bungle them or stumble over his words. So that they can just give him an answer to everything he says and have him read it as many times as necessary. Take one. Move it on up. Take two. Move it on up. Take three. Move it on up.
Did we get to the other conspiracy theory the other day?
What is that?
The bruise on his hand.
Oh yeah, the bruise on his hand. He seemed somewhat less below average than normal. And so there was a bruise on his, or a bruise or a cut, an abrasion on his left hand, hand. Yeah, not his palm, his hand. And they said that that's where you take intravenous fluids. And
this was during the Kenosha appearance.
Yeah. If he was on drugs during the Kenosha appearance, they've got to really step up the medication. If it's 100 proof, it's got to go up to 150 proof,
no,
whatever
I think
it is.
He was back to saying racist remarks. He was back to his old self.
I don't know. It's 727 says, even if they had Donna Brazile feeding Biden the questions in advance, it wouldn't help. Well, that's why he needs the teleprompter. He's got to have some kind of, and I think that, you know, I think it was Tammy Bruce was saying, you know, you could have an IFB, you know, which is, you know, what I wear during the Newsmax hour, just in my ear, just so I can hear everything else. But that would be kind of disconcerting. There'd be like a slight delay. You'd be better off with having the teleprompter. But someone's going to have to be mighty fast on that teleprompter to come up with an answer. Unless, of course, they know the questions in advance, which, given who's going to be asking the questions, that's a very good likelihood. Not that I don't trust Chris Wallace, you understand. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We had on Chris Bedford from The Federalist on Friday, I think. And we talked about this this piece in The Atlantic, this totally now debunked piece in The Atlantic about Trump making disparaging remarks about the dead American veterans who were buried in France from World War One. And it's just outrageous, though. The story just goes on and on and on. I was driving around the Cape yesterday, listening to Grace and Taylor fill in, and every top of the hour, ABC News is still leading with it. It was 4 days old. I get in the car this morning, drive back to Boston. It's still leading the news. Five days later, and it's been debunked by everybody, and there's not one single real person has come forward to back it up. And they're still going with it. Chris Bedford from The Federalist, you've had experience with The Atlantic before. Are you surprised that the story has lasted this long?
Only in that I'm not yet surprised at that, Howie, that it's lasted this long because of the echo chamber and all of the friends that The Atlantic has. I mean, if this story were published about a Democratic candidate with actual primary evidence, not people familiar with something, but with documents or with people on the record by a conservative outlet, it would be long gone by now and not in the news cycle. But the rot that goes into journalistic ethics and the breakdown of journalistic standards and all the folks who are really excited to take a shot at the president every chance they get and to help Joe Biden's campaign, they keep it alive, and it's what they want to talk about.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I want to play a cut here. This was from this morning on CNN with Allison Camerota, of all people, who used to be decent when she was here in Boston. But let me just play this. This cut runs about a minute, but I think it's very telling. Cut 14. This is Allison Camerota with Goldberg, Jeffrey Goldberg, the guy who actually wrote this story in The Atlantic. Cut 14.
John Bolton, in his tell-all book, which was no love letter to President Trump, had a very different version. So let me just read to you how he, who was there, said that day unfolded. He said the weather was bad. Marine One's crew was saying that bad visibility could make it imprudent to chopper to the cemetery. The ceiling was not too low for Marines to fly in combat, but flying POTUS was obviously something very different. If a motorcade were necessary, it would take between 90 and 120 minutes each way along roads that were not exactly freeways, posing an unacceptable risk that we could not get the president out of France quickly enough in the case of emergency. What's your response?
My response is, I'm sure all of those things are true. I've heard from people in the Pentagon, Marines who are a bit insulted that the idea that the Marines couldn't fly a helicopter in the rain.
Well, he just said it was true. So, Chris.
And it's the entire lead of his piece.
Right.
It is the opening part of his piece, the whole crux of this piece. What's been so famously repeated is that this was not because of weather. He made the decision. He was uninterested in visiting the war bed. He wanted his hair wet in the rain. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of research to check out a book that's been so widely publicized as John Bolton's and is available to anyone. I mean, most publishers have it either at home or in their newsrooms because people send it to them. And it doesn't take much research to find out that President Trump stood in the rain to honor America's war dead the following day at a different cemetery. And with somebody as big as Jeffrey Goldberg, who's got as much experience as he does as the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, to not even include this information, to not reach out to any of the first-hand accounts, to not use the Freedom of Information Act documents that we have confirming this story, and not even include them in a story, that comes across to me as an intentional act. This is not the mistake of some amateur or some novice. And maybe even if it's not intentional open deception. It is at least not letting the facts get in the way of the story that he wanted to tell. And that's not trustworthy journalism.
We used to have a joke in the old Hearst newsroom of the Boston Herald American. And that was, some stories are just too good to check, you know? And that's what's here. And you know what I didn't know when we last talked, Chris Bedford from The Federalist, is that in the famous Ben Rhodes story about how he was bragging, this was Obama's old bus driver in the Iowa caucuses who became his one of his national security guys in the White House because he was so greatly qualified himself. He bragged that the most famous thing he bragged about is that all the reporters were 27 and they didn't know a damn thing and they'd never covered anything other than political campaigns. But apparently he also said, I didn't know this till this weekend. He said, and then we can go through establishment people like Jeffrey Goldberg and get them to write whatever we want them to write. That's pretty telling too, isn't it?
And you know, Jeffrey Goldberg in this example, and people do this a lot in D.C., he's been used as a tool for a political hit. It was so clear by the time we spoke on Friday, and it's only become more clear since then, that the advertisements attacking the president were ready to roll. No advertisements made by 6 a.m. for an 8 p.m. story with multiple interviews with veterans. It wasn't just a couple of computer clips pulled together. They were debuted on shows, and it all came out. The networks were ready to roll. And it was obviously a coordinated effort by the source to reach out to all of these reporters, either through themselves or through their agent. Because there are a lot of different people who could have been the anonymous source familiar with the meetings, weren't even in those meetings. That's dozens to hundreds of people. The idea that all of these different news stations and newspapers are able to find that person and confirm that story shows that that person wasn't passive. They were actively reaching out. And those news reporters did not confirm anything because you can't, by its nature, confirm gossip.
Right.
You need to go to where the gossip's coming from. Get to the beginning of it, the primary source. People like John Bolton or General John Kelly, second in command, or the ambassador to France, all of whom are on the record saying this did not happen.
Right, and John Kelly's aide, I mean, he was even disturbed that President Trump had made disparaging remarks about Kelly when the story came out, and he said, I don't like him making those comments, but he never said anything like this. So, I mean, it was, you know, if Kelly wanted to, pile on, this would have been the perfect opportunity, but he didn't take that opportunity. And like you say, the highest ranking people that were there, that were with him, Bolton, the national security guy, Kelly, the chief of staff, the ambassador to France, the press secretary, they're all on the record adamantly denying this, and they've now had 5 days to come up with anybody, and they can't.
This will be just another one of those stories that goes unconfirmed, or they won't even probably have to ever issue a correction because they haven't yet, in the face of overwhelming evidence that this is not true. And the methods that were followed by The Atlantic, it's so common across a lot of media these days where sources are disguised. It takes a lot of readers really just trusting in the editor to whatever calls they made because they can't make the calls themselves. The number of sources can sometimes be disguised, not in this case. Who those people are, why they would possibly know, and it becomes a he said, she said, when actual reporting should be, here is what it is, with as little trust required for you personally, the writer, or your magazine, as possible. From your readers, they should understand your processes and lay them out.
Right, and we're talking to Chris Bedford from The Federalist, and again, he busted the Atlantic a couple of months ago on a fake story about a police shooting in St. Louis that did not occur. Just plain did not occur. Nobody, as you said in your piece today, Chris, they never even like asked the woman for a clipping. Can you give a? I mean, that's real basic magazine stuff, you know. Can you give me a clipping to back this up?
This should be in the newspapers if a child was gunned down by a police officer in a community rec center.
Right, because he didn't sign up on a basketball sign up sheet.
That would seem to be a little bit. None of it was true.
There was no kid. There was no cop. There was a domestic dispute between two cousins, one of whom was armed because he was a security guard. And that became an example of police brutality. It's just amazing. And then the whole thing with this, here's the words that he used, according to four people with firsthand knowledge of the discussion that day. And again, as you point out in your piece today, the three crucial breakdowns in journalistic standards, that doesn't mean anything. That could mean one person is telling three other people that at a cocktail party or having coffee at a diner in the morning, right? And the other thing, go ahead.
Exactly that. And then that those four people who all heard from one person would then go to reporters, and the reporters would treat that as confirmation.
Right.
That's simply repetition, and it's not confirmation. It's not the source. And they keep on using these words firsthand. I don't think it means what they think it means. It doesn't mean anything in this case unless I actually have the evidence or the situation that person is in, how they heard it, and how they heard it separately. And that is not outlined in this piece.
You know, one reason though, they still have the ability to lead with this story is that they keep asking Trump about it and he keeps responding to the bait. But on the other hand, I mean, it's such a rotten, nasty, untrue thing to say that I don't blame him for being angry enough to keep responding to it, you know, but they just know they're like poking a bear with a stick, you know?
And I've never heard such angry denunciations from the president of a story or denials of a story as I've heard with this one. He has denied stories before, some of which have been borne out as being true, but never like this. It's more of a back and forth. He is horrified at this. And just think of how, is this realistic at all? Jeffrey Goldberg even writes in his piece that he was then fascinated with Trump's relationship with the military service ever since he had a fight with Senator John McCain. But that fight was real. Those people went back and forth. They had a feud. John McCain was attacking Donald Trump, and he went back at him. The men who died or honored dead who gave their lives at Belleau Wood and France, they'd been dead for a quarter century when President Trump was born. It doesn't compute, and it all plays off of a dumb stereotype and a caricature that some people have in their heads of this president. If he could do this, therefore he could do this. But they're not related.
And I don't know if it was you or somebody else said this weekend that President Trump doesn't go after people who don't go after him. You know, he's pretty,
exactly.
He's pretty gracious and polite he just observes the normal niceties of social intercourse before he became president. You know what I mean? He doesn't pick fights. He really doesn't.
Even those who he does go after, like Senator Ted Cruz or Senator Rand Paul, they are tight politically now. They speak fondly of each other. They work together in a number of issues, because if you say something mean about the president, he's going to say something twice as mean about you. But if you say something nice about him, it's all forgiven. He doesn't hold grudges like this, maybe on trade issues or things like that against countries, but against people, he has no evidence of really holding lifelong grudges, especially with people who he never met on a trip that was designed in part to honor them.
Right. And he and the Treasury Secretary have sued one another, and now they get along.
That's just people in New York business.
Right. It's like he said, I had to give money to Schumer. I bought Schumer. You know, I bought Spitzer. I loved it when he said that stuff. And he had to sit down with mob guys too, because that's, you know, if you're a builder, that's who you got to deal with. I mean, that's reality. And again, these 27-year-old reporters. Yeah, it's definitely not the Boy Scouts. All right. Yeah. So here's a text. It's too bad he can't Pelosi them, admonish them for a setup, and demand an apology. Yeah, you know, he knows better than that. All right, Chris Bedford, that's a good piece you wrote today, and we'll tweet it out, a link. Three crucial breakdowns in journalistic standards that explain the Atlantic's Trump political hit piece. It's not the magazine it used to be when I was a youth, and I would walk past the offices every day on my way to the State House. All right, thanks, Chris. 844-500-4242. Or was near the State House anyway. Never in the history of real estate have government-issued moratoriums against property owners been so widespread. Don't wait for the value of your property to sink lower. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From rural farms, country clubs, estates, and historic office buildings throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and with no contingencies. It was amazing on the Cape to see how much commercial real estate was up for sale. Even the restaurants that were open were had big for sale signs on them. Don't wait until it's too late to get out from under either your commercial or your residential real estate. There is a big reason why Banker and Tradesman has voted J.J. Manning number one for the last 5 years in a row. They have the buyers and they pay cash. When you sell with a real estate broker, you have to pay commission. But with an auction, the buyer pays. That's very important. That can save you tens of thousands of dollars. With an auction, the buyer pays the auctioneer. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Justin at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
781 says, how can a former Israeli prison guard wind up running the Atlantic magazine? Who's backing him? I'm glad you asked that. I should have mentioned it the other day. Mrs. Steve Jobs. Does that name ring a bell? You think she's flush with cash? Mrs. Steve Jobs, the widow of Steve Jobs. She owns like 70% of it now. And I think she's donated like $500,000 to various Joe Biden super PACs. Meanwhile, there won't be any voter fraud, though, but this is a story just out of Georgia today, Atlanta. Georgia's top election official said today that his office has identified about 1,000 cases of potential double voting in the June primary election, a felony he's determined to see prosecuted. No one gets to vote twice, Raffensperger said. Everyone gets one vote. One man, one vote. And then in Lebanon, New Hampshire, the man becomes a woman, it's one woman, one vote, in addition to one man, one vote, apparently, allegedly. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie, how are you, buddy?
Good.
Hey, listen, living down in Florida, if you leave one grain of sand on your counter, all the piss ants come. And they come and the fruit flies. If you have a banana peel in your garbage and you don't get rid of it,
yeah.
And
that happens not just in Florida. Go ahead, though, Bruce.
Just saying, mostly in Florida, but you have all these people that are like these ants and these fruit flies. They get one little whiff of something and they all come and they're all they.
Yeah.
Focused on that one stupid thing.
I know. Eugene McCarthy used to say this, the old senator from Minnesota. This was more than 50 years ago. He said the political press, and it's gotten so much worse since then. He said they're like crows on a telephone wire. One crow flies onto the wire, they all fly onto the wire. One crow flies off, they all fly off. It's the same thing. It's just everybody piles on, and it's worse than ever because they're all out to get Trump. Rob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rob.
Howie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Howie, the reason for this Atlantic hit piece is it's being put out by the people that are plotting the upcoming coup against Trump. They're trying to cut him off from the military. They're trying to plant a seed of doubt so that, the military, if Trump needs to call them under the, the Insurrection Act, or...
I think they just want to peel off his votes. Look at all the states where they're big bases. It's all the big Sun Belt states like Texas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina. Those are where there are a lot of military guys, and those, some of those states are kind of close, and they just want to peel it off. And then the other thing too is the people who don't read anything. This gives all the social media just the chance. Trump denies. Orange man bad. Said bad things about vets. I'm Howie Carr.